38% for the I think her career, and 55% was her percent for 2 points, and then free throw percentage was 86. So we have Jake and Jared here, and Robert, they're 3-point guys as well. They played basketball. But there's something that made her special, and it was her 3-point shot. And I want you to know this morning that everybody here has a 3-point shot. It may not be on the basketball court, but it's what you do best in your life. Everybody's got something. So the title of the message, what is your 3-point shot? We're going to highlight that today. I'll have Michelle put that slide up. What is your 3-point shot? And so let me give you a definition here of the what I mean by a 3-point shot. It is what you are good at. Whatever it is that you are good at in life, that is your contribution to the team. Why is that important? You add value to other people when you do what you're best at and what you're good at. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. Look at your notes, please, and Romans 12:5. Let's read that together. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. So Paul says this, everybody here has got a gift inside them. When you receive Christ as your Savior, He's living in you. He will take your natural abilities, your skills, and through the Holy Spirit, He will develop something inside you that is unique to you. It is what we can call your spiritual gifts or your 3-point shot. It's what you do to serve other people. Now, so Paul says this, we all have different gifts according to the grace given to us. God wires everybody in individual ways. Now, in the book of Peter 4:10, let's read that verse in your notes. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Here's what Peter is saying. Whatever you've got in you, you are to use your gift, your 3-point shot, to serve other people. And so he admonishes and encourages us all. Say, listen, whatever it is wired into you, whatever it is that you are good at, whatever your skill set is, whatever God develops and matures through you, use it to be a blessing to other people. Now, in your notes, you've seen this chart before. There are a list of some 24 gifts listed in the Bible. It could be more depending on how you define them, but here's a basic list of what they are. Helps, leadership, hospitality, service, and the list goes on and on. We've talked about those in previous messages in the last month or two, but I want to tell you a story from Matthew chapter 25. It's a parable. There was a landowner that was going to go on a trip, take a journey. And so what he did was call his servants close to him, and he entrusted property to their care. Now, to one servant, he gave 5 talents. And one of the footnotes in my Bible said a talent is a little bit more than $1,000. So this guy had like $5,000. To another servant, he gave 2 talents. A talent represented $2,000, a little over. The third servant, he gave 1 talent or $1,000. The owner left and went on a journey. And he came back sometime later. And he called the servants close to him and he started talking. And he started with the guy that had 5 talents. And he said, what did you do with your 5 talents? And the servant said this, I went out and I gained or made another 5 talents. I now have 10. And the owner, the master, responded, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. You will now be put in charge of more things. Enter into your master's happiness. To the guy that had 2 talents, he brought him forward and they started to talk. And the guy that had 2 said this, I have doubled it. I now have 4 talents. He took what he had and he doubled it. The owner said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. You'll now be put in charge of more and enter into your master's happiness. The third servant came and talked with the owner, the one that had one talent. And here's what the one that had one talent said. He says, I knew you were a hard man, and harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the ground. He buried it. And the owner said, hey, you could have at least put it on deposit somewhere to gain interest from it. But instead, he buried it. You know why he buried it? It says he was afraid. Sometimes we are afraid to lose something, so we end up burying it. But there's a big lesson here in this. I want you to know what the owner said to the man that had one talent who buried it. Here's what he said. You wicked, lazy servant. That's pretty hard. You wicked, lazy servant. And he was not happy that the guy that had one talent entrusted to him buried it to protect it. Everybody here has been given talents or gifts or abilities. We do not want to bury. You know why? Because we are shortchanging ourselves and we are dishonoring God because of what he's put inside us to be a blessing to other people. And so this morning, God is calling everyone out that whatever your three-point shot, whatever your gift mix, whatever it is inside you that you're good at, use it as a blessing to other people. Because God is honored, your life is blessed, and the people around you are blessed. Don't bury or put on the shelf what you're good at. You know when this happens? Oftentimes, when somebody gets offended. Yeah, people can get offended in the church. And you know what they do? They say, I'm done. I quit. I may even stop going to church. And they pull back, and you know what happens? They're no longer using what God has entrusted to them. And they're no longer serving other people. And the enemy wins when we bury our talents. So understand, God calls you and me to look within us, figure out what we're good at, what our three-point shot is. What is it that God has wired me to do? And he says, I want you to use it. You know why? It adds value to the people around you in your life. And God delights to take people and use them in a powerful way when they learn what their three-point shot is. What is it you're good at? And then you just continue to develop it and hone it and sharpen it. So on the back side of your sermon listening guide, I want to share 7 different types of gifts. Now, I can't cover them all in the time of the message that are in the Bible, but I've lifted out 7. And I want to talk about how they are a three-pointer in people's lives in Bible time, as well as today in the day and age we live in. So let's get started. Backside of your sermon listening guide, 1. The first gift I want to highlight is that of prayer. Some people have the gift of praying incredibly deep and long. Now, everybody's supposed to pray. I hope you prayed today in some way. Everybody has to develop that habit. But some people have an extra dose or desire or passion as a gifting inside them. Here's what it does. They seek God's blessing on other people. Let me stop here. Moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas, or whoever you are, let me tell you. When you stop to pray for your kids or grandkids or your neighbors or your office workers, can I tell you, you are in a powerful place. You are asking God to release the supernatural into that person's life to bless them, to direct them, and to guide them. You are like the engine room of heaven. You are the ones that make it happen. People that are intercessors make a difference in their families, in their church, in their communities, in the world, because they're calling upon God to release his power to bless a certain person or people. So the gift of prayer is powerful. Read with me Luke 2 in your notes. Anna, she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Here's a lady, was married for 7 years. Her husband died. And it says the remainder of her life till she was 84, she never left the temple. She became very committed and devoted. She worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Anna became a prayer warrior that changed a lot of people's lives while she's on her knees. If you have the gift of prayer, can I tell you, you are a hero in the kingdom of God because you're influencing people in situations that the rest of us can't even see. So prayer, that's number one. It's a three-point shot. Some people do that amazingly well. Here's a quote. One small prayer can change a big situation. It may be your prayer. Example number two. It's people that have the gift of service. The people that have a gift of service, they just care for people. Read with me Acts 6, 1-3 in your notes. Their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. In the book of Acts, the widows weren't getting sufficient food. So they picked 7 people that were sharp. They were wise and we will turn this responsibility of food over to them. Let me tell you what a person who has the gift of service does. They're the people that make things happen. I think of soup from Tuesday nights. We get different people in and out of there. And actually, I got a picture I skipped over there, Michelle. If you go earlier up. From last Tuesday night, these are people that make it happen. They literally serve. Okay, that's not the one, but that's a good look. There we go. I think this was last Tuesday group. They're just there to make it happen. And I want to say this to the church family. If you have the gift of service or helps, you are gold. Because if it wasn't for people that were willing to serve like that, they just do whatever. A lot of things wouldn't get done. So if that's you, understand you are valued and it's gold to the church family. All right. So as we think of service, that's example number two. Let's go to, here's a couple quotes. Helping others is a privilege and an honor. You know how you know if somebody's got the gift of helps or service? You ask them to do something and they don't complain. Anybody that's got a real willing heart, they're just going to do it. The people that don't have the gift are probably the ones that are going to complain a bit because they really don't want to do it. But people that are oiled on the inside with the gift of service and helps, they are there to just do whatever. And let me say it, like I said before, those people are gold. Here's a quote by Albert Einstein. Only a life lived in service to others is worth living. Isn't that true? Only a life lived serving other people really matters and really counts. All right. Example number three, that of leadership. Leadership is when you oversee people and projects. Now, some people are more gifted in this area than others. They just are able to make good things happen because of their leadership. Read with me Genesis 41, 41. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. You know the story. Pharaoh has a dream, and there's 7 years of where all the cows were eaten up, and then there was another 7 years of plenty. There was a lot of crops. But anyway, he interpreted the dream for Pharaoh. Pharaoh lifted Joseph up to the number two position in Egypt as the administrator, the overseer of the country. And during the 7 years of plenty, then he stored up the grain from the fields. During the 7 years of famine that came later, he then distributed the food to the people, and the nation was spared from starvation. A person that has the gift of leadership is good at overseeing people and projects. We have leaders in the congregation. They're people that step up and they do stuff. They just create opportunities and they move something forward. Now, here's a quote. Leadership is not a position or a title. It is action and example. Do you want to know who a good leader is? They're on the move. They're going to do something. It's not just the position or title, but someone who's a leader makes things happen. And we find here that Joseph was that kind of a guy. All right. Example number four. The gift of encouragement. This is a three-point shot for many people. Now, we all are to be encouragers to other people. Some people just are wired with a deeper reservoir and ability to lift up other people. And that's what encouragers do. Read with me Acts 4, 36 and 7 in your notes. Joseph, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means sons of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas, the name means encouragement or encourager. There's people in our congregation who are just encouragers. You know what they do? They lift up other people. If that's your gift, it's your three-point shot. Use it frequently. It costs nothing. It's who you are. It's the word you speak. It's your attitude toward other people when they mess up. It's how you step into their life and you make a difference. And it's like a three-point shot from far away when you see someone who's down. Maybe they're lonely, they're depressed, they've had a tough setback in life. You step into their life and you just lift them up and encourage them. Now here's a quote. We rise by lifting others. You want to feel better about yourself this afternoon? Find somebody to compliment, to lift up right after the service. We rise when we lift other people up. Let me tell you, when you get a group of people that have other people's back, and they're willing to love you despite mistakes, they come in and they lift you up, they're encouragers. It's a three-point shot. It's easy. It's simple. You do it day after day. Be that kind of a person. You'll be a Barnabas. Wherever you go, family reunions, you go to work, you go to the grocery store, you shoot a three-point shot, you encourage somebody. That's a gift. And God says, hey, I need people who are willing to become world-class encouragers. That's who they are. It's a Caitlin Clark. It marks your life, your ability to take that shot and be a blessing to other people. All right, number five. Fifth example of a three-point shot is craftsmanship. People that are craftsmen are good with your hands. You know, some people are builders. Some people are good at crocheting and knitting and making prayer shawls and afghans. And so there's different kinds of artistry when you're a craftsman. It applies to men and to women. Read with me Exodus 31:3 in your notes. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze. The Old Testament, they're building a temple, and God anoints some people with an ability to do stuff with their hands. They're just good at it. When I look at the journey of the church and the building of this building, or the prayer shawls that have been passed out. When I think about the pavilion, when you think about the basketball court, all the different phases of the church, it took people who were craftsmen, men and women, to make it happen. So you may be here, and your three-point shot is this. It's your ability to work with your hands. Let me tell you, do not discount that. You know why? You add value to the team when whatever you do that to God's glory. I was at the jail last Friday. I asked some of the inmates. I said, what's your three-point shot? Took one guy a little digging, but you know what he said he did? He said he was a logger. I said, you know what? You bless a lot of people. You help a lot of people. Just because you take your hands and you do something that way, you're using your three-pointer. And whatever your three-pointer is today, as a craftsman, listen, God has wired you and he's calling you out to use it. Make sure it's not buried. Don't hide it. Don't put it on the shelf. God wants to use it to be a blessing to other people. Here's a couple quotes. The first one, it's more towards the ladies, but I couldn't resist. It began as a harmless hobby. I have no idea it would come to this. So there's a sewing machine. This is not my gift. We got somebody waving back there, all right. How many like sewing machines? How many don't? Okay, so you get the idea. Some people just love it because that's who they are. It's their gifting. It's how they're wired. Here's another quote. Hello, craft room. I've missed you. Now, the people that are crafts kind of people, they totally get this. That's their world. It's where they live. It's where they make quilts and bedspreads, and they design clothes, or it could be a guy or a lady's being able to build stuff. So it's a three-point shot. All right, let's keep moving. Number six. This is a good one. It's called hospitality. Hospitality is people who serve people in food. They love people, and they love serving food. Now, read with me Romans 12:13 in your notes. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. All right. Let's say you're here today, and for example, we think of the people, Mary and Bonnie and different people that do the refreshments after church, or I think Linda, who's done it for many years, and others. Hospitality is their heart. They love to serve people, and they love to serve food. And you put those two together, and they have the gift of a three-point shot called hospitality. If that's you, just keep using it. We love to eat, right? But the point is, some people are just wired that way to be a gift to the body by using that gift. I've got a couple quotes. The heart of hospitality is when people leave your home, they should feel better about themselves, not better about you. There's an insight here. You know what it is? When you're in the presence of someone who has the gift of hospitality and they serve you, could be food or just who they are as a person, when you leave there, you feel better about yourself. You know why? That's the grace of God working through the person who has the expression of that gift. Here's another one. Hospitality is love in action. Hospitality is the flesh and muscle on bones of love. People that have this gift are action people to make things happen in the way of caring for people, whether it's through food or just helping them in any way they can. All right. Finally, number seven, three-point shot. The gift of mercy. Mercy is what I call a walking first aid kit to people. A first aid kit is handy when somebody's cut themselves, they need a bandage or they're hurting. You pull something out of the kit to administer first aid. Now, here's what a person that has the gift of mercy does. They see you in the grocery store line. You're at Walmart, you're at a ball game, you're at some community event, you bump into somebody, and they're hurting. And you have the gift of mercy. So what do? You listen. At the jail Friday, another story. I was asking these guys, what are your gifts? You know what one guy said? He said, I'm a good listener. I think he had the gift of mercy. He just listens. And when you have the gift of mercy, somebody steps into your sphere of life, and they're hurting, and you are a good listener. You listen with your heart. You just don't listen to get them to get past it. You say, what's going on in your life? And you administer first aid to that person's heart, to their soul, to their hurt. And when you do that, the grace of God flows from God through you to them. Now, read with me this verse in Lamentations, a couple of them. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let me tell you what this means. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. It's this special anointing of his presence. The person that has the gift of mercy, here's how it works. They get up in the morning and they spend time with God. He downloads a fresh supply of this thing called mercy. It's kind of like going to the gas station. And you get filled up your tank. And you get your tank filled with mercy, and then you start driving around throughout the day. You run into somebody that's got a hard situation in their life. You stop and you listen. And you listen, and you listen, and you love them. You support them. You encourage them. You're just there for them. You're administering first aid. And the mercy of God that started from God in the morning and it filled the person's tank then flows through you to the person you rub shoulders with throughout the day who's having a hard day. You are doing your three-point shot in the grocery store line. Wherever you go, you can just shoot it. And you're valuable to the kingdom because his mercies flow through you to other people. So, there's many other gifts that we could look at for examples. Quick summary. Prayer. If you have the gift of prayer, you are the engine room in the life of the church. You're amazing. And we've been blessed the past couple months with new people, and I believe it's a result of the prayers of God's people, God's blessing us. Number two, service. If you have a heart just to care for people, and you make things happen throughout the week, the life of the church, you are gold. You're just amazing. God needs people like that. Number three, leadership. Maybe you can take a project or a group of people and make something happen. Think of Jane, Operation Christmas Child. She just pushes the ball down the field. It's called leadership. You make a difference. Number four, encouragement. Everybody here can encourage. I have an assignment for you. After the service is over, before you go home, hopefully you'll do refreshments. Maybe not, but just take a few minutes and go encourage somebody. Or the rest of the day, find somebody to encourage. Lift them up. Use your three-point shot to make a difference in somebody's life. Number five, craftsmanship. You're good with your hands. Maybe you knit, crochet, you're good with a hammer, you're a builder, a plumber. Just use your abilities to add value to the people in God's kingdom in the world around you. Number six, hospitality. Serve people in food. You know, we're blessed to have people like that in our church after the services and special events. And lastly, number seven, mercy. You're a walking first aid kit to people. And I got two slides with this one. Here's the first one. Everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind always. Isn't that true? If you go through the day and somebody's a little bit abrupt to you and it's out of the ordinary, you go, where did that come from? Maybe take a step back, extend grace, and give it some time and thought. Maybe, just maybe, they've got something going on in their life, a sickness that you know nothing about, And you're just going to extend mercy. Here's a second quote. You never know what people have to go home to. Always be kind. Isn't that true? Always be kind. Someone has said, if you have to be right or be kind, it's better to be kind. That will win over always being right. So I have two last slides, but before I get to them, I want to do something a little different in the service. I did it in the 8:30 service, and I want you to be able to remember this service, all right? So did y'all get a basketball on the way in? They're back there in the container. If you didn't, you can go get one. So the three-point shot is from a distance. And we got this off Amazon this past week. Isn't that nice, you know? It's amazing what you can order on Amazon. And so what I want you to do, if you want to, on the count of three, I want you to try and make a three-point shot from where you're seated. Now, there's more to this. Now, the other thing is I plan to keep standing here, and you have a choice. You have a choice, and I'll never know it, although I'll keep an eye out. You can either try to make a basket or you can throw it at me, all right? So you have a choice, okay? But listen, in all seriousness, and then after you're done, you can come up and get your ball back to take it home with you. But everybody here's got a three-point shot inside them. Some talent or ability. There's spiritual gifts inventories out on the table. And if you haven't done that, I encourage you to pick one up, take it home, and it'll help you understand how you're gifted and what you're wired. After the service is over, during refreshment time, around the tables, there's a couple sheets, pink and green, and there's going to be table leaders, people floating around, that are going to help facilitate a discussion of saying, what is your three-point shot? How are you gifted? Have you completed the gifts inventory? And we want everybody to talk through that so you know what you're good at and what you understand that God wants you to do. So that's during refreshment time. I hope everybody can stay to be a part of that. But now comes the fun part, all right? So on the count of three, everybody can throw their ball if they want to. You can try and hit the basket or hit me. It doesn't make any difference, you know. Now I'm going to watch these guys down here because I got a feeling. So are you ready for this? Okay, on the count of three. One, two, three. I thought I might have to call the, somebody's getting into the box and they keep throwing them. I thought I might have to call security for these two guys. I wasn't sure. All right. So, couple slides and I'm done. All right. Here's the first one. Listen, here's the first slide. God has given you spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Let me stop here. You got something inside you. It's a spiritual gift, three-point shot. Use it. Figure out what's in you. And you're saying, well, I don't do much of anything. Yes, you do. You just haven't figured it out yet. Here's the next slide. Your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Nobody in this room knows how many days each of us have left. But one thing we do know, the master, the servant, God himself, is saying to each of us, I've put some stuff inside you. Figure out how you're wired, what you're good at. It's your three-point shot. Be a Caitlin Clark in your part of the world. Make a difference. Add value to the team, your family, your community. Use what God has gifted you with to make a difference in the world. And what you do with it is your gift back to God. Don't bury it. Don't shelve it. And you may be here today, and maybe there's something you were hurt by 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Somehow learn to deal with it and say, God, I will not let that derail me going forward. I'm going to pull out my three-pointer, whatever it is, and make a difference and serve other people in God's great kingdom. Let's bow for prayer. in the quietness of this moment and those watching online, I want you to ask yourself the question, what are you good at? Now, for some of you, you say, well, I know what that is. I can cook. I'm a craftsman. I can serve. For other people, you're not totally sure. And for some, you say, wow, I got to figure that out. Can I tell you, that's okay. Start the journey. Pick up the spiritual gifts inventory. Go to work on discovering how you're wired. But right now, in the quietness of this moment, say, God, what is my three-point shot? Ask him. And here's the second question. If you know what you're good at, are you using it? I mean, do you have an outlet for it? Do you have a ministry? Do you have a lane to run in where you can use your gift to bless other people? That is what God is calling each of us to do. Father, I pray for every person here today listening online that you will show us our three-pointer that's inside us. And right now we commit to using it for your purposes, to serve other people, to make a difference in the kingdom, to build other people up, to add value, to be the kind of person people want to be around just because of who you are in us. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon us going forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to share one more thought. I want to tell you what my three-pointer is. I did this at the 8:30 service. I've shared before that my gifts mix is pastor shepherd, number two is encourager, and number three is giving. There's others that crowd underneath that, but those are three primary ones. And I thought this week, what is my three-point shot? I want to tell you. I tell you, it's what I enjoy. Here it is. My three-pointer based on my gift mix is when I work with a group of people that get a hold of a God idea and make it happen. That's it. That's my three-pointer. I work with a group of people. You are a part of me in terms of fulfilling what I feel like I'm wired to do. We get a hold of a God idea, whether it's a program or a building, and we push it forward. We make it happen. And that's the delight of my soul. That's my biggest dream. What do you want us to do as a church going forward, collectively, that we can make happen in Walton and in the world just because we're available? And I'm excited about the remainder of 2024. Just what God is doing in our midst and what he wants to do if we're available. So we're going to sing a closing song. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to ask you to do. The group can come on back up and get your position to sing. But what I'm going to do is anybody that says, God, take my three-pointer, whatever it is inside of you, and you just want to offer it to him in a fresh way, and I want you to come and stand up front, and I'm going to be among that crowd. I'm going to stand there myself. And I'm going to say, God, take us all, and here's my three-point shot. And just use it in 2024 going forward to make a difference in the people's lives and in the community around us. So if you want to join me, you can. But group, come on back up for the closing song. It's the Glory of God song. It's a great song. Please stand. If you want to come up front and dedicate your three-point shot, whatever it is, to God, I invite you to do it. Let's sing.